I have some bad news. Meredith was hit by a car.
What?
Where?
It happened this morning in the parking lot. I took her to the hospital, and the doctors tried to save her life. They did the best that they could, and she is going to be okay.
What is wrong with you? Why did you have to phrase it like that?
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss and Nick here with you. Before we get into it, we got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zoraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Gentlemen, the New York Giants won a football game. Aren't we excited?
That was for the fans, guys. I don't know if you know this or not, but that was for the fans.
Culture. It's for the culture.
Yeah.
Weiss, why don't you start, since you're probably, you seem distraught and probably the most upset of the three of us.
Yeah, I mean, I am very upset. You know, I was thinking about this. I was like, man, the last decade, like the losing, the going through the different head coaches and the drafts and all that. And I was like, all that bottled together and they still just never bottomed out. The 1 year they sort of bottomed out in 2018, that demented old bat took a running back. But this is another instance, man. It's like, just damn it. You know, like I don't blame the players. You know, obviously these players are, this is their livelihood. They're not going to tank. They're not going to roll over. When you have a coaching staff that's trying to, you know, save their jobs, they're gonna coach these guys up, and you know, I understand that. My anger is at the Indianapolis Colts, because I will never, I hate them for the rest of my life. But yeah, man, it sucks. This is why, you know, the last couple of days with everything with Shador and the shoes, and I just kept reminding myself, I'm like, they don't have the number one pick yet, nor is it like set in stone. You know, there's still 2 weeks left, and there's like four teams that have one more win than the Giants. And yeah, so it sucks dropping 1-4. Obviously we'll I don't want to get ahead of myself and, you know, talk about how they're going to get a quarterback and this and that. I think there'll be plenty of time for that. And plus, we still don't know what's going to happen in week 18 with some of these teams that are playing meaningless opponents. So it sucks, man. Doesn't feel good. Takes a lot of the juice out of the season. Kind of makes it a little bit worse, to be honest with you. And yeah, I mean, it's anger, and then it just turns to apathy during the week. And then week 18, I'll probably get angry again if they win, and then it'll just be apathy again. And it's just this never ending cycle of just being in this dark place where I just don't see a light at the end of the tunnel for this team that I root for.
I think those feelings are fair. I would argue a few things. Now, people are all over the place. I tend not to agree or disagree with one camp over the other too heavily in times like these, but I do have a few thoughts, and I'll get them out. I do not like Shador Sanders. I do not like Cam Ward. For me, the way that I am trying to look at this is, I want Shane gone, Dable gone with him, fresh start, clean start. You're telling me Shador Sanders is wearing New York Giants cleats with 2 weeks left. They screw up the tank to now picking fourth with two teams that need a quarterback ahead of them, with the Patriots who don't picking first. Maybe I have too much faith, because I will transition this monologue into eventually shitting on him. But if there is at all any doubt or uncertainty now in John Mara's mind over what to do, it's hard for me to put myself in his shoes. And okay, my GM now will have to be desperate and trade a boatload, perhaps, maybe not, because again, he's wearing New York Giants cleats with two games left. A desperate GM trading up for quarterback. On top of that, winning a meaningless game, then going into week 18, having Saquon Barkley set the rushing record with an airplane flying above the stadium pregame, thanking my team for letting him walk. And I'm going to bring back the GM responsible for that. Again, if there's any glimmer of hope, it is now. It is not in the scenario in which the New York Giants lose week 17 and lose week 18. And I say that as someone, I don't like these quarterbacks. I think that there is a lot of debate going on over whether or not to trade up for these quarterbacks, and the debate over whether or not it's worth it. Here's where I stand on that. I think that if you really like one of these two quarterbacks, then the sentiment shouldn't change. You're going to take them at one. And if you really like them, you're going to trade up for them from 4-1, from 7-1, whatever it is, you should trade up for them. If you believe that they could be a franchise quarterback, you're going to trade up for them. You can still be upset that now you have to do that. That is just logical. But if you think that either of those guys could be a franchise quarterback, but now that you're picking fourth instead of first, you don't want them, then deep down, you don't really believe either is a franchise quarterback. On the tanking, I am sick and tired of this narrative that teams don't tank. Teams tank all the time. We are going into week 18. We are about to witness the first, second, and third teams currently in the draft order all execute some sort of tank to maintain that draft position. Brian Flores snitched on the Dolphins owner because he asked him to tank. NFL teams tank. Players do not. Coaches who are on the hot seat and may not have a job promised the next year probably don't tank. Brian Daboll. But organizations as a whole tank. Now, I don't think the Giants are cutthroat enough to actually do that, because if they were as in love with these prospects as it was shown on Hard Knocks in the offseason, then John Mara should have had Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, IR, everyone with a fucking pulse last year, and just lock in a top three pick to select one of these guys. And if Roger Goodell came knocking saying, hey, what's going on here? John Mara should have told him to kiss his ass. But we know that he won't do that because he's not cutthroat. He's not a competitor. He's a Nepo baby whose billions were handed to him. He didn't earn it like some of these other billionaires that own these football teams. He does not have the same desire to win that these other owners do. We saw it last year and we're seeing it again this year. Okay, they could have put Tyrone Tracy on IR. They could have put Malik Nabers on IR. They could have made up bullshit injuries, right? This wasn't about getting a cute picture of them with the sign, oh, we both hit 1,000 all-purpose. No one cares about that. People care about franchise quarterbacks. At the end of the day, it goes back to John Mara at the top. And the last thing I'll say about Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, the entire focus has been draft this, draft that. Whether or not this quarterback's good enough to draft, how they missed out on these quarterbacks. These guys are portrayed as these quarterback gurus. They were the Josh Allen guys. That's literally what they were known for. A successful organization. They had a good process. They identified Josh Allen, Brian Daboll. You know, the memes, the first 2 years he was the Giants head coach, about how much Josh Allen misses Brian Daboll because he's responsible for his success. These guys know quarterbacks inside and out. They can identify them. Except when it comes to retreads, apparently. Because over the last few years, we've seen a number of former first and second round draft picks who have become reclamation projects and have gone on to earn big contracts. We just saw it with Baker Mayfield. Could have been had. We're watching it in real time with Sam Darnold. Could have been had. I understand the politics. Geno Smith, probably not a realistic option, but another guy who went on to have success with another franchise. Years ago, Kirk Cousins, not as much modern day.
You could even do Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson leading his team to the playoffs.
Could you do Daniel Jones?
No, but you know who you could
2022?
Do.
I mean, he fits that mold.
Again, I think saying. Everyone would agree that Aaron Rodgers, had he not torn his Achilles three plays into his Jets tenure, it probably ends a bit more positively. Again, they had to trade for him, not a free agent. These guys are out there. These trades are out there. There are things that you can do to go into a season so that your quarterback room is not Daniel Jones and Drew Locke. So that if you miss out on Drake May and Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, your team isn't atrocious. So that if you accidentally win a game at the end of the season because your head coach hasn't been promised that he's going to be here next year and he wants to win as a giant fuck you to the GM and to the owner, at least there was some sort of identification. Oh, I can take this reclamation project and he can at least make my team 500. There has been none of that. It's Drew Locke. Okay. Tyrod Taylor, but we're going to play the deli owner over you. They have fucked up the quarterback position, not just from the draft. Like, I'd kill for Baker Mayfield. Right? Like, I feel like I'm crazy. There are just so many good reclamation projects. Even from that 2018 draft, I just brought up Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. Loved Baker, didn't love Darnold. Guess what? Both went to new organizations and became successful quarterbacks. It's crazy. It feels like it is not talked about enough. That, yeah, we spoke about it when talking about Drew Locke, but we're not talking about that option enough moving forward. It was just draft this. Like, we don't know who's going to be available. We don't know what reclamation projects could just pop onto the scene and be successful. People thought Baker was done. It took a desperate Sean McVay to give him a last chance. You don't know. But these guys are paid to know. They're paid to identify and make these, I guess, this draft analysis so that if these guys become available one day down the line and it didn't pan out for one reason or the other with their original organization, I can fix them. It's the meme from Holes. I could fix that. But the Giants haven't done that. And people don't talk about it enough as an option moving forward. I think it's because the Giants just haven't done it. They haven't even tried. So I don't know what to do.
They did do it with Daniel Jones in their first year.
No.
Daniel Jones had a career year.
That's not what I'm talking about. Daniel Jones was not a bust free agent who was just like lost after his first organization.
Who was just lost with the current organization.
Okay. And then he was lost with the second organization.
No, but... See, when you bring up Baker Mayfield's already an established, you know, I would say he's a top tier quarterback, like right below, like that.
Now he is.
Yeah.
Sam with Darnold. Two different offensive coordinators, mind you.
Yeah. Yes.
Sam Darnold is not there yet. Now he's on his way there. He could be on his way there.
I mean, 4,000 yards, 38 yeah. touchdowns. He's right there.
He could win the division at four.
They have two losses.
For you to put him with Baker, he would have to do it over the course of a couple seasons, like we've seen Baker do.
If he wins a playoff game, I think I'm ready to put him right there. I think
No one's saying that he's automatic. Like, okay, what are the Vikings going to do? Are they going to franchise tag him? Are they going to give him a longer term deal? No one knows. Fact of the matter is, he busted with the Jets. He busted with the Panthers. But Kevin O'Connell was smart enough to be like, listen, I can work with this. Like, bring me this guy. And I understand he started the season as the backup and he was the starter because of the knee injury. I guess like we won't know officially 100% what their plan was. And maybe that was publicized and I just don't know it. But the fact of the matter is the guy got his chance and he balled out and he might lead his team to being the one seed after almost rotting to death in Carolina.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying about these reclamation projects. My only pushback is they basically did it with Daniel Jones. That was their reclamation project. It was a broken quarterback that was here that had gone through multiple head coaches that, yeah, they inherited.
But it wasn't a buy low. That's the other part of this.
A buy low. It was on the final year of his rookie deal. Like, I mean,
it was the opposite of a buy low. They turned down the fifth year option just to turn around and give the combination of a contract.
I'm talking about when they got here.
I understand.
That was the reclamation project. It was like, hey, we're just going to see what we have.
But my whole thing is their inability to successfully do that. Even if you want to consider Daniel Jones.
They want a playoff game with Daniel Jones.
Okay. And then what happened?
But that's my point, is some of these reclamation projects have one good year and then they fizzle out.
They didn't win the play. That's why Baker's an outlier.
That's why I think Baker's an outlier, because Baker has now done it for multiple seasons. Whereas some of these other ones, you know, they fizzle out after a year, or they go get paid and they're not what they were. Baker is the standard.
I think
Baker's the anomaly in this conversation.
That's what I mean. Like, he is like the standard of what I'm talking about. But like Russell Wilson leading his team to, what are they, 10 and whatever?
Yeah, I mean, but
Sam Darnold doing it in his first year. Geno Smith doing it for multiple years. Again, I'm not saying that the guy's got to be
an absolute playoff game with Geno Smith yet.
I'm just saying the guy doesn't have to be a stud. He just has to be like a 500 or better quarterback.
So you think that they should now chase the Geno Smith Seahawks era? Because no. I feel like what you're saying, they did that and it failed.
They didn't do that.
They did. They had Daniel Jones. They gave him a chance. He won a playoff game. They made a commitment to him and it failed. That's like, if they would have gone, let's say they would have gone.
Are you just talking about doing it period or doing it successfully?
I'm talking like what you're saying about, hey, there are all these reclamation projects out there. Go take one. Not every single one of them is going to turn out to be Baker Mayfield. Matter of fact, it's more likely than not that you end up in a situation that they end up with Daniel Jones, where the guy has 1 year, you make a financial commitment, and then he bottoms out or he fizzles out.
If you get a GM job and a head coaching job off the back of, I identified and coached up and developed Josh Allen, and all you have to show for it is I signed Drew Locke, then you are not good at identifying quarterback talent.
But that's not telling the whole story about this regime.
No one said it was.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying you're talking about these reclamation projects and how they all exist, and how if this guy can't, you know, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll came from Buffalo, and they talk about the quarterback whispers and all that. My pushback to you is that they kind of did that with Daniel Jones. So we've seen that movie with them before. That's not like a formula that they haven't tried. They tried that.
But but in real time, I vividly remember sitting here on the show and saying, this offense is not sustainable the way they are doing this. This is all bootlegs. This is underneath. This is smoke and mirrors. You're not going to be able to do this long term.
I agree with you 100%.
But that's not the same thing as what Baker's doing, what Sam Darnold's doing.
So let's do this. Let's take Baker out of this conversation. Okay, let's do that. Okay,
go ahead.
Let's take Baker out of this conversation.
Sure.
And let's just talk about this reclamation project, right? And let's go through the list.
There's not a lot of them. It's hard to do this.
I agree with you.
That's what I was doing while you were talking. I was making a spreadsheet of all the starters. Yeah. There's only like seven or eight of these guys.
Go ahead.
Seven or eight is plenty.
So you have Derek Carr, but that's not really
Derek Carr. No, it is. He got cut. Well, he'll fall into there. He went to New Orleans and fizzled out, and it didn't work. They didn't go to the playoffs. It's been a disaster. Go to your next one.
Kirk Cousins doesn't count. Minnesota, Sam Darnold, yes. Would you consider Jared Goff a reclamation project because the Lions bought low on him?
Sure. Yeah, that's been a success. I'll give you that one. They traded for him. Inherit, trade for, sign, right? Yeah, that worked, right?
Yes.
The one before that, Kirk Cousins, that did not work.
But that's not a reclamation project. They paid him top of the market. Like, that was...
Okay, fine. Yeah. Then you said Matthew Stafford. I mean,
Stafford's not a reclamation. Nah.
Stafford was a great quarterback that everyone said just played. Like, Stafford was great in Detroit. So it wasn't like he was a bust.
Yeah. Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good at working the first year in Pittsburgh. Let's see. Are they going to make a commitment to him after this year? But can we go back to Jared Goff for a second? Is Jared Goff a reclamation project? He went to the Super Bowl in L.A.
I don't think because of him. I don't think he was the best. Like, I think Jared Goff was like the cutoff point of like the worst quarterback you could probably win the Super Bowl with on raw tools. I think everything around him needs to be close to perfect for him to win the Super Bowl, which is what it was when they went with the Rams. That team was great.
If we're going to count Jared Goff, should we also count Carson Wentz into this? Because that was a failure.
He's not a starter.
But he was a reclamation project. He was in Philadelphia.
Yeah, in Indy. And Indy, he went to a reclamation project. Yeah, yeah.
So that didn't work, right? Yes. And I think he went to Indy. Indy did a couple reclamation projects.
They also did Matt Ryan.
I'm not going to count Rivers.
Philip Rivers was good that one year in Indy. Philip Rivers threw for like 4,000 yards that year.
I don't want to count those quarterbacks that were great and then at the end of their careers went to another team. Let's stick to the ones that, you know, that fit under that category, that were drafted, terrible situations, went to a new team and took off.
There's not a lot. I mean, other than that, it's Geno Smith, who we mentioned. We mentioned Russell Wilson. Other than that, there's not really a lot of these guys. You know, Denver, Bo Nix is a starter. Vegas, you know, they're in search of their reclamation project. The Chiefs didn't. The Chargers obviously drafted a guy.
Would you consider Justin Fields a reclamation project as well?
Because he would be a reclamation project if you brought him in, yeah.
Zach Wilson,
he would be
a reclamation project. Trey Lance is a reclamation project. To a lesser extent, Mac Jones is in that reclamation project, part of his career, where he's trying to find a place where... So as you go through these lists, you start to find that some of these didn't either haven't worked out yet or just simply didn't work out.
I think what Ethan's point is that...
I've been waiting for Nick to make my actual point.
It needs to be a consideration. That's all. Like, it can't just... It's not only about the draft.
Not just a consideration. You guys were brought in here as the gurus. No one said it was easy. No one said that it happens all the time. But if you are brought in here as being like these quarterback geniuses, then over the last 3 years, Baker, Geno, Darnold,
Russ, Fields,
Russ, like all these guys, they had the opportunity to do this.
Daniel Jones won a playoff game with
already guys on the roster.
And
I mean, if
he's still on his rookie contract.
But my point is, he was he could be defined as a reclamation project.
But he didn't change teams.
By another team.
But he changed multiple head coaches. I mean, we can't listen. If you're going to call Geno Smith a reclamation project,
he changed organizations like three times. He was a backup in a bunch of different places before he settled it. And then he won that job.
I get it. But what I mean,
Seattle's a hell of a lot better than we are.
I agree. But Seattle also hasn't won a playoff game with Geno Smith.
The issue also hasn't been Geno.
My argument is, I believe they already tried this reclamation project. I don't think they deserve to try another one.
They
did not. I don't think they deserve to try another one. I don't think you can, in year three.
Whether or not they deserve it, I agree. I don't think they do.
That I agree with for sure.
I guess we agree. My only thing is, I think they tried to do that and it didn't work.
I disagree. You know what trying it would be? Would be bringing in Zach Wilson to legitimately compete for a starting job next year, and he just like goes off. That would be an example of what I'm talking about.
One thing I want to add on to that is it's not just that they haven't taken swings on these reclamation projects. It's that even when things haven't gone well in some of these other places, their play caller or head coach, because they're the same person in this case, they've been able to facsimile reasonable offense. You know, the Minnesota Vikings with Nick Mullins last year, we're able to hang around in games because Kevin O'Connell is so good. And Justin Jefferson was hurt a lot of last year. Let we forget, they hung around in a lot of games. Kyle Shanahan has gotten more than functional offense out of guys like CJ Beathard and Nick Mullins. Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, if you are as good as Brian Daboll is supposed to be at calling offense, you can facsimile offense. I'm not even saying win games. I'm saying score more than 14 points a game. It's not just that they haven't taken swings on guys. It's that they have had look, I get it. The roster's not very talented. They have one good receiver. The running
back
is
the bottom line in this whole. That's in this conversation. That's the bottom line.
Yes, I definitely think that's a consideration. Yeah. I think
don't
no
start
matter
with the quarterback, start with the roster.
I think
where no is matter, the roster?
And I think this is
two equal issues. The roster sucks.
The roster stinks. And like this we can tie this into some of the talking points out of the weekend because like, if you drop Michael Penix on this team, you drop Bo Nix on this team, like, it's not making that much of a difference. Like, sure, maybe they have a little bit more in terms of what they can run offensively.
If,
but
if
like,
if you drop those two guys, you better take Malik Nabers off.
That's also the point. Yeah, so your only good playmaker comes out and you're going to drop Michael Penix behind this offensive line. Yeah. You're going to. And look, Bo Nix has played well. I'll give him that. He played really well on Saturday against the Bengals. He looked really, really good. I thought Penix looked pretty good last night.
Disagree.
But, I thought Penix was decent last night.
He did, Nick. Yes, he did.
He was throwing. He did. Look, his timing's not great yet, but he's got a decent arm.
For a guy making a second start in that.
He looked okay. Yeah, he looked okay.
But I want to say one more thing about this reacclimation thing, right? I define it as, like, if you were to ask me, how would you define a reacclimation project in the context that we're speaking? Head coach A, B, and C, or general manager A, B, we'll stick regime A, B, and C, inherit, trade for, sign, failed quarterback, and find success with him. Is that how we define it?
I don't even necessarily mean need success. I want just like functional, you know, like I would settle for 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, 15 picks, like a functional NFL offense that scores enough points that they are not.
How about 3,200 yards, 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions?
Is that what Daniel Jones had 3 years ago? Two years ago?
I mean, I'm not trying to give these guys credit. I'm just saying.
No, I understand. Look, what they did with Jones at the time was amicable. Yes, they did a reasonable enough job for 1 year. But when you went under the hood, you saw that it wasn't explosive. It was a lot of long, sustained drives. It was a lot of rushing attempts. It was very inefficient. They got very hot. They took advantage of some teams. They played really good defense. But like, it's their job as coach and general manager to be able to look at that objectively and say, well, we probably can't do that again. This was kind of
the opposite.
Exactly. That's exactly the thing. They ate the cheese. They ate the cheese.
I agree. Not all reclamation projects end with a happy ending. Or
of course not. I'm just saying, if you are supposed to be that good at identifying quarterbacks, then in theory, your chance of nailing one of these reclamation projects should be higher.
Yes, I agree with.
And I think there's evidence there that backs that up for them. If they were to make a case.
Disagree. All right. I didn't intend to spend however long we talk about Mayfield.
Brian Daboll. Because I think I differ from Ethan's opinion on where things are with Brian Daboll. I think it's more likely than not than Brian Daboll gets fired. But I don't think this is I think Joe Shane wants to keep Brian Daboll. And optics wise you could, but do you know why you can't do that, Nick? Let me explain to you why you can't do that. They cannot hire proper coordinators with Brian Daboll for a multitude of reasons. His personality around the NFL, the Wink Martindale thing, obviously he shoulders blame for that. The Mike Kafka thing. Mike Kafka is about to leave.
We just saw this with Shane Bowen. Like, yeah. I don't want to do happen? This again.
How are you? And then on top of that, let's play this game, right? Let's say they go and trade for a quarterback.
There you go.
Move up and grab a quarterback, right? Is this the coaching staff that's going to be tasked with developing it? What happens if it doesn't work in the first year and everything looks horrible? And
listen, the only thing that would entice a group, a head coach and a coordinator to come here in the event that you fired Brian Daboll was that they really, really, really liked Shedeur Sanders. In which case, I question their judgment, but now that's off the table.
But you're not looking at you're not looking at the one of 32, like there's only 32 jobs. And I mean, I think
we've seen this in real time with Ben Johnson, who is an incredible offensive coordinator.
That's another anomaly allegedly. Situation.
No, I'm just saying, dude, like if you're good and you know demand's going to be high, you can afford to be picky. He could have gotten a head coaching job last cycle. He went back.
How many Ben Johnsons are there right now? There's only one.
Sure.
Well, by definition, there is only one Ben Johnson in the NFL.
No, I'm saying like
this is how you wind up with Joe Judge. Like, no, again, this is not like some, if Mike Vrabel is going to have his pick of the litter, is he picking the Giants? No.
He might. His entire coaching staff is here.
If he were smart, he would take the Bears job.
And Ryan Cowden is here, too. I think he was assistant GM in Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't think that he was a fan of how things ended in Tennessee to want to work for them again.
I don't think you're going to get anybody with half a brain who wants to work with Joe Shane, knowing that Joe Shane
Liam Cohen.
I think
another guy who can wait for his chance.
I think
Joe Brady.
I think Joe Brady, they got the Buffalo connection. That also scares me.
Yeah.
It's very different.
Was he in Buffalo? Was he in Buffalo when Joe? I think he came after, right?
No, they were there together. I'm pretty sure they were there together.
I think he might have missed him. I think he might have missed him.
I think so. I know Joe Brady started in Carolina with Ethan's boy, Matt Rhule.
All our boys, Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
Roosevelt Island legend, Matt Rhule.
Yeah. No, I think Brady came. Yeah, Joe Brady came in 2022.
Gotcha.
He was the Carolina Panthers offensive coordinator in 2020. So by a year. Yeah, missed him by a year. I think.
And then what job did he take with Buffalo?
He was their passing game coordinator.
He was something low. And then when they fired, what's his face?
Ken Dorsey.
Yeah.
I don't want to take a coordinator from a staff that plays with a god quarterback. I think too many teams have made that mistake where, like, let's just get the Chiefs offensive coordinator. Yeah,
and the Giants did that with Brian Daboll.
Yeah, like Josh Allen, you are not teaching a kid to play quarterback the way you would teach you are not showing a kid Josh Allen tape and saying, we're running this. You're not doing that with Mahomes tape. You're not doing that with Jaden Daniels tape. Like, no. The Giants need to find a coordinator who can scheme an offense for the personnel they have.
They need a KOC. Yes. They need someone like that.
And look, of the guys you said, Liam Cohen is doable. I do think you could convince Liam Cohen to take this job, but you also need to be in a position for him to take a quarterback. You know,
What about Brian Flores?
I don't think the Giants would do that.
Sign me up. Drop the lawsuit. Bring him in.
Jesse Minter.
I'd be in on Jesse Minter. I'd buy low on him. It might be a little early for him. He's only like a year and a half removed from college coordinator. Like he needs more seasoning. He's going to get a job again. I don't think the Giants should do that because we don't have a mobile quarterback. But if you have a mobile quarterback, yeah, no. The stuff they were running last night, they ran one play that was really cool. That was like a play action boot option. That was really cool and well designed that the football nerds were talking about this morning. And I was like, he kind of figured it out. He's got a running game now on top of
a very, very criticized hire.
Yeah.
Can I give you another one? Another one?
Well, sure. Okay. One more.
Bobby Sloak. Kyle Shanahan tree.
Yeah.
They could be drafting a quarterback that has similar traits to CJ Stroud, give or take.
Yeah. But
what's your Daboll take?
Yeah, that's a good point. You did never give the
Daboll take. My Daboll take is that I don't think a decision has been made. And I think that it's going to come down to whether or not he can get respectable coordinators to come work here.
I think the decision has been made. And I genuinely think that, again, what I heard a week or so ago was Shane safe, Daboll gone, Shador Sanders at one. A lot has changed in the last 24 hours. So I still think Daboll gone. And I do genuinely believe, I think I started the episode with this, that if you have a desperate general manager and no one willing to come here because there's no quarterback.
Do you think he's desperate?
Yes.
But don't you think they're giving him a reset button if they fire Brian Daboll and let him hire another head coach? Like, it's not going to be on the hot seat next year.
They're going to be flying planes over the stadium the first game of the season next year to get rid of him.
I don't think you can definitively say. Like,
will they, Nick? If they draft the quarterback, will they?
If they finish with two or three wins again, what's going to happen? What are you going to do? You're going to stick Shador Sanders behind this offensive line.
Well, let's think logically, right?
And you're going to win four games.
Because I think you're going there, right? Let's think logically. Let's say they draft one of these quarterbacks, right? Whether they trade up or they... Well, let's start here. Let's say they fire Brian Daboll. Right. And let's say they get I'm not going to say respectable, but like
pick a name out of the hat that you just
a head coach that lowers the temperature. How's that? Right. Let's say they do that.
But like, I don't know who's lowering the temperature, but go ahead.
And let's say they draft a quarterback. Right?
Jesus Christ himself is not fixing this team.
Well, listen, if they hire a head coach that's, you know, he's got buzz, and it's not a Joe Judge, right? Where we haven't heard of him until he got the job. let's say somebody that has buzz that's been
so they magically get Vrabel.
No. I'm not talking about these guys at the top of the list. Somewhere in the middle, guys that have been.
That's mentioned. Not lowering the temperature. Lowering the temperature would be on. Bringing an adult in who's got experience.
You don't think Liam Cohen will lower the temperature? You don't
not
think
at Bobby, all.
Trade for Bobby's, Kyle Shanahan. Lower the temperature.
Let's do the Liam Cohen thing. I'm sorry for pronouncing it. They get Liam Cohen. Let's say they this weekend they move up a spot, they get to 3, or let's say they stay at 4, whatever. And then they draft a guy, right? Pick whichever one you want. I'm not having that conversation now. And how can they then put him on the hot seat?
If the team stinks again and the quarterback doesn't look good,
but that's a reset button. It's a reset button. It's like, okay, draft your quarterback. You got
but that's not
years.
How it works,
have
man.
You guys, seen, have you seen the PSL prices?
No, I know. But the first year of the rookie quarterback, logical fans, which I think the majority of the fans are thinking, okay.
If it was a new regime, yes, that makes sense. But it's not. Like, we have 3 draft classes worth of evidence that this guy is not good at his job. That's the problem. Like, if you were to draft, okay, Weiss, in your situation, they bring in Liam Cohen. Great. Okay. The guy worked wonders with Baker Mayfield down in Tampa Bay. Wonderful. Bring him in. Okay. They
also in LA too.
Okay. They take Cam Ward, who I think his processing is slow. I think his footwork is sloppy. I think a lot of the time he's got a million seconds behind the pocket. Andrew Thomas goes down with his annual ankle injury in week 5. The team wins 3 games and no one is showing any signs of development. You're telling me that that reset button is legitimate? I don't.
So you're doing the doomsday scenario.
I
think logically speaking, if they do what I think they're going to do, this is a reset button.
It's
a 2-year thing.
So you're going to have Shane going into, you're going to give him 2 years, which means that you're just going to let him play out his contract.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're going to get your rookie quarterback. I'm going to give you your head coach. Okay. And I'm going to let you pick another head coach. You're going to go pick your quarterback. You got 2 years to show me we're headed in the right direction.
Close enough. Sure. Welcome back, Joe Judge.
Well, the difference with Joe Judge was Joe Judge inherited the GM, inherited the quarterback. This guy, it's like, okay, hey, we don't have a quarterback. We got all this cap space. You get your reset button. I'll look past those first 2 draft classes. Going forward, I want to see.
I just don't know how you look past 2 entire draft classes.
I'm not. I'm telling you how.
No, I know, but I'm saying I don't know how you just do that.
He's going to do it. That seems to me.
I am like not.
That's the route he's going to go. Then, hey, I'm going to let you hire a head coach. I'm going to let you draft a quarterback, probably trade up for one. You got 1 year.
Who's starting for the Eagles next week?
I don't know, Tanner McKee. By the way, they look like they were just pulling Eagle fans out of the stadium or out of the crowd and just playing them at quarterback, and they were throwing 40-yard touchdown passes to A.J. Brown.
It made me
more depressed.
Right now you're asking me, I think Dable's gone. I think Shane is 50-50. What was the first game they lost by 30? The Ravens game, maybe? I feel like the week leading up to the Ravens game, we were like, you know, oh, this is... it's bad, but who knows? And then the very obvious thing happened where the 16-point underdogs got fucking demolished and everyone all of a sudden goes five alarm fire. You knew that was going to happen.
Stay with me for a second.
No. I'm staying with you. I'm bringing it back. Okay. Yeah. Let me land the plane.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Dable out. I think Shane 50-50, but I say Shane 50-50 full well knowing that they're going to Philadelphia. There's going to be an airplane thanking them for Saquon Barkley. He is going to break the rushing record.
No, they're not playing him. They already said today they're not playing
him. They're not playing him?
Yeah, Schefter said they're not playing
him.
That's
trash. Okay, but they're going to fly the plane. And you know what? The Eagles still may very well win by 2 touchdowns. And that might be enough.
You think Joe Shane's going to say what Jerry Jones said? The Eagles fans did a great job.
Let me just say, Weiss, by the way,
I'm not buying the weather situation
this past weekend. I think John Mara paid for all those planes not to fly.
Can I make a confession? I wasn't going to do this, but I'll do it. Okay, I paid for one of those planes.
I'm glad the cat's out of the bag. Okay.
All right. The one that said clean house or sell the team. Yeah, I paid for that. I did. Why did I do it? because I was pissed off at how much apathy I have for the team. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I was pissed off about that. And yeah, the company reached out to me and listen, if you want me to show proof, I don't need to do that. Multiple reporters have emailed that company and the company has forwarded me the email. I didn't do it for popularity. I don't mean to
love of the game.
Yeah, I don't mean to brag. I got 100,000 followers. I got 100,000 followers on Twitter. I don't need the popularity. I did it because I was pissed off.
This is a no ad podcast. We don't do it for the money. Yeah, we do it for exactly. Love of the game.
I wouldn't if they look, I'm at my lowest point as a Giant fan. If they fire Joe Shane, or excuse me, if they fire Brian Daboll and they hire a respectable head coaching candidate, however you want to define that, define it. And they draft a quarterback, my temperature's lowered. Whether it's because if you want to say I have lower bad standards and my standards have been so low, fine, do it. But that will lower my temperature for the Giants. If they draft one of these two guys and they bring in a new head coach, the reason why I don't want them to keep Brian Daboll is because I don't think coordinators will want to come work with him. And I think the quarterback development's important. Some of these player development is important. None of these corners have developed. Maybe they're all bad, but none of these cornerbacks have developed. These pass rushers are not getting better. Like, who on the Giants has developed into a good player that wasn't already a good player walking into the building?
Micah McFadden, and that's it.
That's it. Tyrone Tracy, okay, fine. My point is I think John Mara is going to lower the temperature by firing Brian Daboll, giving Joe Shane a full reset button, telling him you got 2 years, get your quarterback this year. And, you know,
when was the last time this worked for any team?
I think Eagles? Didn't it work for the Rams? Wasn't what's his face already there before Sean McVay got there? Yeah. Didn't Jeff Fisher work with, who's the GM? Les Snead work with Jeff Fisher? Yeah. Yeah, and then they fired Jeff Fisher, and then they hired McVay.
Yeah.
I mean, look, at this point, we're all rooting to get lucky, right? Like, nobody actually has faith. So
we got to get lucky eventually, right?
Yeah. So that's where I am. That's sort of where I'm at, right? Let's lower, John Mara's going to lower the temperature. You want to scapegoat it, whatever. I think it's justified to fire Brian Daboll. I think it's also justified to fire Joe Shane at this point, but they're going to keep the front office intact. I talked about this to you guys that they made all these investments and the way they operate and paid all these people to join their front office. I don't think that they're going to just get rid of it after 3 years with the head coach. Hopefully they can get somebody respectable and we can get lucky and end this cycle, but I'm not holding my breath. But in the moment, if we can get a young quarterback in here and maybe we get lucky with that, right, Nick? Like, who knows?
I mean, all it takes is one good offseason. I mean,
Jacksonville round two.
Oh god, no. Look, I love Lane Kiffin. He's a funny guy. I don't ever want one of his quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm good.
But doesn't that theory make sense? Like, he's giving Joe Shane like a there's no hot seat in 2025. It's like, go get your quarterback. You got 2 years.
Isn't I think within reason. I think if they go like 2-15, I think that's a very different conversation. I think if they get to 6 or 7 wins, okay. If they win only 2 or 3 games again next year, I mean, with Shador or Cam Ward, I think that's a different conversation.
Yeah, you can't, win 6 games in 2 years. Like,
especially with the potential QB class.
Yeah. But if they, let's say if they get the quarterback and he gets better, you know, throughout the season, you're like, okay, we're at 6 wins, 5 wins, whatever. Okay, we like where we are at the quarterback. Let's, you know, I'm just spitballing here. My point is that I just think that this is there. It's a full reset form. It's the, hey, 2022, 2023, we'll put it in the rearview mirror. Let's see if we can get another 2024 class, whatever that means. Get your quarterback and let's get the ball rolling. Daboll, that's going to be the first domino. Hey, can you get coordinators? Yes or no? If he can't, all right, peace out. Get another head coaching.
So then they'd be behind the eight ball. I think his fate's been sealed.
Maybe.
I think we're going to know on Black Monday.
Yeah. Definitely coached like his job was on the line.
And was speaking like it.
Yeah, he was. Made some interesting comments.
Anything's possible when you got the quarterback play.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Lock turning into...
Drew Lock was genuinely good yesterday. Like, genuinely, like, a really good quarterback.
Dude, the Colts are so bad.
Yeah, the Colts are...
So bad.
I will never... The Indianapolis Colts... I might fly a plane over their fucking stadium.
They got a roof, unfortunately, so...
What are you going to have it say? Fuck Gus Bradley?
I don't know how Gus Bradley keeps getting jobs. Dan Duggan said that yesterday.
Yeah.
Every time I watch a Gus Bradley coach team, I don't understand.
I said a lot of hurtful things about Jim Irsay and his drug problem. I'm not gonna repeat, but I did, yeah. And I
that's a loser team. What else we got? A team of losers.
I want to ask you guys your thoughts on the rest of the season. Now, obviously, a lot of stuff's already been decided.
I don't care.
If you want to talk about like the playoff picture, sure, but I got dick all to say.
Like NFL wise, I got thoughts. Giants wise, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about them against the Eagles. Like yesterday was like funny because like Ethan was right.
Is there one team you guys are hopping on the bandwagon?
Wait, hold on. Nick just said I was right. Nick, what was I right about?
Oh, that Shador wearing the Giants cleats was a joke.
Oh, yeah.
That was the most obvious change.
Giants money line. The easiest bet of anyone's life.
I hated it when I saw it.
Soft tampering. Reverse tampering.
Yeah, reverse tampering.
Bandwagon. Minnesota's fun. I like O'Connell. I love.
Dude, Jones. I want the Lions so badly, but with this defense, they're just not. They're so fucking yeah.
They're
so by the way, the Chiefs like the worst and or most quiet 15-1 of all time. And by the way, just looking back at it, it is sickening, disgusting that a team that is 15-1 in Roger Goodell's modern day NFL somehow cost me my fantasy season. Like, how is that possible?
Like Mahomes?
I drafted Mahomes, who literally cost me my week one matchup, which if you flip it would have put me into the playoffs. Isaiah Pacheco, who got hurt after like 2 weeks. It was a catastrophe. My worst pick by far was Marvin Harrison, but at least he went off.
Mitsubishi Marv.
Yeah, Mitsubishi Marv. I love that.
Can I ask you guys a fantasy question? So in one of my 14 team leagues, I won 11-3. Do you guys have first round buys for the top seeds?
Not in all of my leagues. In one of them, yes.
In Dynasty, yes, because we have
six. I got absolutely screwed in my league. I had the number one seed. I had clinched it like for the last 3 weeks. It was like 11 and I didn't have a buy. And the 1 week, I mean, I was averaging 120, 130 a game. I get to the first round of the playoffs against a 7-7 team, and I just get in, baby. And I lost. And here's what sucks. You ready for this? I lost, and I scored like 108, whatever. The last 2 weeks in the whole consolation thing.
You probably scored a gazillion points.
I scored 140 and 147. Yeah. I sent a text that next year, fucking seven teams with the one seed has a bye.
No, you first two seeds.
Or something like that, yeah, or one of those.
Yeah. First two seeds get a bye.
14 teams fantasy league dynasty. Is fucking hard, man.
Yeah, dude, that's
14 impossible. Teams hard.
Yeah,
it's tough. But I got lucky with Chase Brown, and you know I picked up some of these guys late. Tyrone Tracy helped me out, and I had Joe Burrow as a quarterback. But anyways, I just figured I wanted to ask you that because everyone's like, nobody does buys. I'm like,
no, some people do buys.
Yeah, no.
To answer your original question, Minnesota, and then in the AFC, the Chargers, just because I love Herbert.
They're so boring to watch.
They are, but I love watching Justin Herbert play quarterback. Like, if you go back and watch some of the throws from that game against the Patriots, that he's throwing balls through like six sets of hands and hitting guys directly on the fingertips. He's disgusting. And Ladd is a dog. Ladd is incredible.
The problem with him is, I view him, and I liked him pre-draft.
If his name was Leon McLeod, he would go six overall.
I saw that tweet.
Yeah,
but no, I think he's more like. To me, he's like Bo Nix-esque. Like I think we're seeing his ceiling. Like I just don't think it gets better for him.
Just a good possession receiver.
But that's the thing. Like I think he'll do it for like 10 years.
And they'll get an X receiver to go opposite him this offseason, and that offense will be opened up next year.
Yeah, they'll draft whatever LSU receiver, and they'll be fine. But it's yeah, lad. You know what's hilarious is that the Jets are interviewing
Rex,
Ron Rivera.
Yeah,
Rex and Ron Rivera.
Yeah, Rex and
oh,
Ron.
I had a dream last night that I was interviewing Woody Johnson. While okay. while
you might need to get some help.
Yeah, seriously.
I was a weird dream. I don't know. And I remember during the dream, I asked him. We're watching the Jet game. I was like, man, the Jets fucking suck. And he was like, don't talk about my team like that. You want to interview me? I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But in the dream, I like hinted, hey, are you going to hire Mike Vrabel? And he said, yeah, that's my number one guy.
All right. You heard it here first. Voice is subconscious. Breaking the news.
I think I'm all in on Baltimore, man.
They're very fun. I always love Lamar. Yeah,
Lamar MVP.
This is Lamar at his peak right now, what we're watching.
He's playing out of his mind. He makes three plays a week that no other person on the planet.
They were so close to the going to the Super Bowl last year. I mean,
bro, I can't believe the Giants could have gotten him twice, like
three times actually, if you want to count the whole franchise tag thing.
Well, that was the second. Oh, well, right. Yeah. Okay, so technically three. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Twice in the draft.
I think they're ready. They're going to take off, man. They're going to get the three seed in the AFC.
As long as it's not Kansas City. Other than that, I don't really care. Or the Eagles. As long as it's not Kansas City or the Eagles, whatever.
Dude, Rashad Bateman's hilarious.
He is very funny.
He's just like, I've had him on my dynasty bench since he was a rookie. And this season, all of a sudden, he's playable. It's weird.
I like Baltimore, man. I didn't pick them to go to the Super Bowl, but I just like where they are. Getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, I like them. I think they could win. Anyone but the Eagles.
Baltimore, Detroit, Super Bowl.
That'd be fun.
That'd be fire. There's a lot of good permutations. I hope the Bengals get it. That's the last thing I want to say. I hope the Bengals get it.
How about a Green Bay, Philadelphia wild card game?
That'd be fun.
Cincinnati. Oh my God. Could you imagine?
Cincinnati, I hope, gets in. Burrow's playing out of his mind.
If there is one silver lining from yesterday.
Burrow's the SpongeBob meme where he's like bent over naked, just exhausted.
I'm praying that Cincinnati gets in. That Cincinnati-Buffalo game. That
scenes. Absolute scenes. Like, Burrow's playing out of his mind, too.
The score is going to be like 60 to 56.
The 4 o'clock window on wild card weekend in cold Buffalo. The other thing about Buffalo that sucks is that their night games just look like they're playing in like a parking lot.
Yes. So
there's no like only like two lights there. It's so weird.
Yeah, I remember that from the game they played against the Patriots where Mac Jones threw the ball like four times the whole game. It looked like they were playing in a parking lot under a single street light. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird. But
I hope the Bengals get in. Jamar should be fucking offensive player of the year. Get out of here with Saquon. Jamar's better. Jamar's going to win the triple crown, the wide receiver triple crown.
Saquon has the most impressive thing about Saquon's season in Philadelphia is that he has saved Nick Sirianni from doing about 26 things that probably would have cost him his job.
100%.
And
the funniest thing about Saquon is that he's got 2,000 yards and only 13 touchdowns.
The tush push, man, the tush is a hell of a drug.
Neighbors would have like better stats than Jamar. I think
if we had a functional quarterback
and played a full season,
that too, he's missed two games and he's had to play with Tommy DeVito, Daniel Jones, and Drew Lock. He easily could be 1500 yards, 15 touchdowns. Easy.
He's figured out the media, by the way.
Yeah.
He's gotten that. The draft.
Yeah. It do be like that.
I ain't got nothing to say about that. You know,
he's smart. Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Move on.
Let them figure it out.
He's right, good. What else before
he's
wrap?
Really good.
Yeah,
they got the best of all of them. I'm very glad. I mean, Adunze is probably going to be fine, but Marv looks very mediocre.
Bro,
and they just don't give him the ball. They don't give him the ball.
Brian Thomas also looks really good.
I love Brian Thomas.
Yeah. They had
Free Kyler
and those two LSU receivers.
I'm telling you, that's the formula. That's how you know when to draft an LSU receiver. He's fucking old, and he's got two future All-Pro receivers catching the ball. It's Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels. That's how it works.
And they had Mason Taylor, who's going to be drafting like the second round, the tight end last year too.
Boutte is in New England. They've got, think who else?
That's wide receiver you, brother. If you want to go to the league, you go to LSU or you go to Ohio State.
Yeah.
If you're a wide receiver.
And this year they got Emory Jones and Will Campbell in the draft with Mason Taylor. And I think Kyren Lacy, the receiver, might go in like the second round. Holy smokes.
They're just stacked.
I'm excited for the college football playoff. Forget the NFL. I'm looking forward to Wednesday. Those games are all going to be pretty good.
Very, very good. I'm invited to a New Year's party, so I can't watch that 7:30 game. But yeah, Wednesday. Yes, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Four games on a Wednesday. Come on. Yeah. Come on. What's better than this?
All right. Nick, can you explain one thing to me before we go?
Shoot.
Because you're always plugged into this. Everybody is getting on the NBA for the ratings going down, and everyone is mad at the NFL for playing games and like, well, the product was bad on Christmas. When LeBron James made that comment after the Christmas Day game, what do you think the NFL league office was saying in their circle?
Hold on, what was the LeBron quote?
LeBron said something to the effect of the Christmas NFL might be playing on Christmas, but it's our day. Roger Goodell was diving into money like Scrooge McDuck. That's what the league office was doing. They had 24 million people watch that game, both games. They had like 50 million people watch both games combined.
They got fucking Beyonce to perform at halftime,
right?
And they got Mariah to open the first game.
Oh yeah,
dude. This is the problem with the woke NBA, with the load management, and these players are just, they cry all the time, and everything's a foul. There's no defense. Just, you know.
Well, that's my. Roger Goodell
finally had enough.
I always push back. I'm like, the NHL plays 82 games, but their regular season is still going strong. Why is the NBA?
Weiss is a please like my sport guy, Nick. Who would have thought? Yeah.
I mean, you can't just.
The NBA does have issues. You know, like the biggest issues. The biggest take I agree with, that it's an old head take, but like all of the new stars being Europeans is definitely hurting.
The lack of personality with the superstars. Yes.
Yeah. Like I like the stars. Like I love Luka. Wemby is amazing to watch, but like the average person, I get it. I get why
you need a European with Lonzo's personality. Sorry. Yeah. LaMelo's personality.
LaMelo. Yeah.
The fact that they basically like the whole dialogue, which Kevin Durant said, this is all about the playoffs and how many rings you have. The all threes. Like I watched the Christmas Day games. Like,
that I don't care about.
That matters. You want to see the dunks. And then, people don't want like lectures in post-game media comp. Like, you know, like, hey, Greg Popovich, tell me why you've lost. Like, don't give me a lecture about who I should vote for. It's all bottled together, in my opinion.
It's a bunch of things. It's not one thing. Yeah.
No.
It moves in cycles. And like, just realistically, the NFL's cannibalizing everything else. You know, the NFL is the only ratings.
It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing.
Oh, it's not. Monopolies are bad for everyone. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. Eventually something will happen.
There'll be a tipping point eventually, because all of the viewing, baseball was up a little bit last year, but hockey and basketball were both
like, what would have happened if one of these quarterbacks that played on Christmas got hurt?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Let's get out of here. What? No. What? Rap- Why? What? Oh, Lord.
Deion Sanders Jr. just got Wes Steinberg.
Oh, no. So did Bleacher Report, by the way.
Breaking, Colorado QB Shedeur Sanders has no interest in playing for #Browns or #Titans. This could have major NFL draft implications. Shador's father, Deion Sanders, will demand his son goes to a big market team with good infrastructure for a QB. The tweet has 355 replies, 434 retweets, 1,400 likes, 81 bookmarks, and a quote tweet from Deion Sanders Jr. with the blue cap emoji. Brother, you were just Wes Steinberg. Welcome to New York. All right. That's it. I'm not even going to do the housekeeping.
You're already welcome to New York. That's wild. You're already welcome to Shedeur to New York.
Bro, he's going to force his... No, it's again, I'm going to be distraught on
draft. Eli's making the call.
Yeah, whatever. All right. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.